May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I would like to address an important message we need to hear from our first reading about Samuel this morning. And first, I'm going to just give a little bit of a roll up of history, a bit of background leading up to Samuel. Located in the Old Testament, between the book of Judges and 1 Kings, we find the books of Samuel, for there are two of them. And Samuel relates the transition for the nation of Israel, moving from a time of rule by leaders called judges to having a monarchy ruled by kings. After years in the wilderness, the people of Israel had crossed the Jordan River and were finally in the promised land of Canaan. But after the deaths of their leaders, Moses and Joshua, the people of Israel were becoming unglued. They were being absorbed gradually, slowly by other surrounding nations, different cultures, Moabites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Philistines, Hivites, Jebusites, names we recognize frequently from having stumbled over them when it's our turn to read these scriptures. And this, of course, as they were becoming absorbed into these other nations, meant that they were worshiping their gods, foreign gods, and there was a lot of intermarrying with the peoples. And they were forgetting about God's promise to them and their promise to God. God is not happy about this. And he tells them, hey, I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you into the land that I promised to your ancestors. And I said, I will never break my commandment with you. And for your part, do not make a covenant with the inhabitants of this land. Tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my command. See what you have done. So what does God do? He has to discipline them, his children. They lose a tribal battle and are taken over by another people, whom they served essentially as slaves for 8 years. And eventually they were so miserable, they cried out to God. And so God raises up a deliverer for them, Israel's first judge. And under this first judge, Israel is able to rise up successfully and get back on track. And things are pretty good for the next 40 years. Now, what happens in this period of judges is almost comical. We hope that we learn our lesson the first time around, but do we typically? And same for the children of Israel. They fall off the wagon many times over. It's a vicious cycle. They get complacent, forget about their promise to God, about their covenant with God. They intermarry, they worship other gods again. God hands them over to another nation as they fight and lose another tribal war. Eventually, they weep and wail in regret in this new captivity. God sends them a new judge. He answers their prayers, and they're back on track again for a while. And then this happens again and again and again and again. The children of Israel just can't seem to get there. By the time the book of Judges concludes, it is a precarious time for the children of Israel, even though they are in the promised land. But they are not an organized nation. Tribal wars continue to tear them apart. Yet God, in his infinite love and mercy, does not give up. And so we come to the first book of Samuel. As we heard this morning in the children's time, Samuel was the answer to prayer for Hannah. She was barren and desperate to have children. And after making supplications at the temple, her prayers were answered. She bore Samuel and consecrated him to the Lord, a promise she had made should her request be fulfilled. And at age 3, once he was weaned, Samuel was presented to the temple as a Nazarite, one who is dedicated to the Lord. And he served the priest of the temple there, Eli. Now, in the very first line of our reading of 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 3, we hear the word of the Lord was rare in those days and visions were not widespread. God's people were still not hearing him. God's people were not listening. God needed someone who would listen, heed, and lead the people back. And so he calls up a new prophet in the young boy, Samuel, who had been consecrated to him. At the time of this reading, Samuel's about 12. And he's sleeping on the floor when God calls out to him. And ironically, he does not recognize God's voice either. 3 times he runs to Eli, thinking it's he who is calling out to him, saying, "Here I am." Finally, with Eli's help, he understands it is the Lord himself who calls his name, and he responds, "Not here I am, but speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel is still young, a work in progress, still growing in his faith, still learning. It makes sense that he may not recognize the voice of God right away. He's been busy, busy, busy all of his life performing duties for Eli at the temple. He's used to getting instructions and hearing Eli call out his name. It may never have occurred to him that God would call out to him personally, directly. It may never have occurred to him. Has it ever occurred to any of us that God would call out to us personally, directly? So often we're the ones on the speaking end, aren't we? We have a lot to bring to the foot of the cross, burdens, petitions, thanks, prayers we bring before God. And it is right and good that we do that. But what if God has something that he wants to ask of us? If it's never even crossed our minds, God would wish to speak to us, to speak to me. We've never actually been prepared to expect to hear from him, then how can we hope to hear his voice when he does call? What does it take? I love the metaphor of radio or television broadcasts or podcasts. They're out there transmitting, if you will, but we can't pick up the broadcast unless we actually turn the radio or television or our phone or laptop on. If I fail to hear that signal, it's not because it isn't there. It's because I have not tuned into it. Busyness, even church busyness, can be an impediment to our reception, our ability to hear God speaking directly to each of us. Often we need to be hit over the head, metaphorically speaking, of course, to pay attention. It took extreme situations to make the children of Israel realize they needed to sit up and take notice. War, captivity, slavery, idolatry, bringing them to the point of misery. COVID has really hit us over the head. A lot of life activity has been curtailed. And it has certainly spotlit a certain complacence built up over many years that has made us take a lot for granted. But 10 months into COVID, a lot of the busyness in our lives has slowed down. For some, it's even come to a halt. And while there is much suffering in this, there is also opportunity. Perhaps even an unexpected gift in this great slowing down over the past year, allowing us the time and the focus to tune in and listen for God's voice, should we choose to take it. Listen for what? Scripture makes it clear that we are to love God and our neighbor and be kind and good. There's many, many, many messages all through Scripture. We know what's expected of us as Christians. Excellent prescriptions, but often very overarching and broad. So what more is it we need to hear from God when he speaks to us? Details? Specifics? Perhaps nitty-gritty for our here and now. Perhaps we need to hear from God how exactly each one can actually live out our Christian calling right here and right now. God can make plain how exactly I can love my neighbor, how or where exactly I can step in and do something on behalf of social justice, or what good or kindness exactly I need to demonstrate today, here, now. Samuel, in his here and now, through listening and responding to the Lord, was the final judge for his people. He grew to be a great prophet, leader, and intermediary between God and Israel, steering Israel back to the Lord and establishing with God's direction a monarchy for his people to move forward as the children of God in a new way. And here we are at St. George's here and now. We have known since even before COVID that 2021 would be a significant year for us. It's the year we will move into our new church home. Hallelujah. And we will need to spend some time listening for what God expects of us as we approach this transition and after we get there. We will relocate physically again. Even more important, I believe we've already been spiritually relocating over the past few years here in our beings. We have become a very different people than when we left the temple site and moved into Prince of Faith. We are much healthier, having worked through a lot of difficulties. We are under significantly different leadership. We no longer have a financial albatross hanging about our neck, and we've certainly grown closer as a community. We are not, though, moving back home. We are moving, but essentially to a new place and into a new place of being. We've done it before, and we've proved ourselves nimble and able. We had to relocate to Prince of Faith several years ago, and this year we relocated to Zoom. God has been ever faithful, walking with us through it all, infinite in his infinite love and mercy. God never forgets his people. So as we begin the work of establishing ourselves again, we will need to listen more than ever to know what God is asking of us as a revitalized and new people. So like Samuel, that when he calls our name, we may hear and we may respond not only, "Here we are, Lord," but "Speak, for your servants are listening." Amen.